This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever is on your mind, start a whole new conversation, or comment on what we're talking about. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live, and you have the freedom to bring up whatever you want here. Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear, like t-shirts and hoodies, are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Lori.
Riley.
And Lori, you brought in a story tonight that was really shocking to me. Apparently, New Jersey is it the state that's getting sued or a hospital? Yeah.
The state is getting sued.
Over keeping newborn blood. What is that all about?
So this is from IJ.org. New Jersey parents file federal class action lawsuit challenging state's secret retention of newborn blood for 23 years. The state can currently use the DNA from the blood samples for any reason without informed consent from parents.
Any reason?
Why did they want to hold on to the blood this long?
Well, I mean, you're getting a DNA database of every single person that's been born. You don't have to wait for them to commit a crime to get their DNA or to submit it willfully to one of these DNA checking websites. You just have it already the moment they're born.
Mm. That's, and when you say any purpose at all,
yeah,
that's definitely something they were probably doing, like creating a database
or framing people.
Oh my goodness, that's so creepy.
Today, a new group of New Jersey parents teamed up with the Institute for Justice to file a federal lawsuit challenging New Jersey's practice of keeping blood samples taken from newborn babies for 23 years, all without parents' knowledge or consent. Not only does New Jersey hold on to the blood, it can use the blood samples in any manner it chooses. When babies are born in New Jersey, state law requires that the blood be taken from the newborns and tested for diseases such as cystic fibrosis, hormonal deficiencies, and other immunity issues. All states perform similar tests. Hmm. And it's true. They won't let you skip it. My oldest daughter was not born in a hospital. She was born in a birthing center with no doctor. I had a midwife and stuff. Just me, my husband, and the midwife.
Mm-hmm.
And she still had to take blood.
Wow.
She didn't take like a vial of blood. She did the heel prick. They check, I think, for lead or something. I'm not even sure what they check for.
I can't believe that if you just say no thanks, you can't. What?
Nope, it's against the law. Wow. So
that's crazy. Like, why would
I don't need the test? Thank you anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
Why?
I tried.
Wow.
I tried to say no, and mm-hmm. the midwife was like, "I have to by law do this, or I will get my license pulled and." Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Yep. But after the testing is over, New Jersey's Department of Health keeps the leftover blood for 23 years. The state does not ask parents for their consent to keep the baby's blood, failing to even inform parents that will hold on to the residual blood.
Wow.
The only way parents could learn about such retention is by proactively looking it up on one of the third-party websites listed on the bottom of the card they're given after the blood draw. And once the state has the blood, it can use it however it wishes, including selling it to third parties, giving it to the police without a warrant, or even selling it to the Pentagon to create a registry, as previously happened
Texas. That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the national government could, in effect, have a national database of everyone's blood.
Mm-hmm. I know that they do stuff like this because
wow.
I referenced in the last segment that I got arrested for a driving under the influence while I was at work, and I had been at work for over an hour, and the cops came and accused me of drinking and driving to work, and I accidentally admitted that I did drive to work, even though I was not drunk, and I blew into their little thing and it said zero. I'm not going to rehash the whole story, but so I had a ridiculous pullover arrest for that. I ended up getting something called a plea and abeyance, where they just say that we won't charge you with anything if you don't get in trouble for 6 months. So that's what happened. But so a ridiculous, stupid little nothing burger arrest, and then a week after that happened, and this was military, they're not military police, but they're not regular cops. It was on a military base, but it's not a regular military base. So I don't remember what they are. There's a specific, really stupid word for what they are. It's not MPs, not military police. But anyways, they called me a week later. Actually, they went to my parents' house and knocked on the door. I didn't even live there. And informed them to tell me to go to the police station a week after the whole arrest. And I was already, I wasn't in jail or anything. And it was because they said, oh, during the arrest, we forgot to take a DNA sample from her mouth, and we need to do that. And I just, didn't know that I could just tell the cops no back then, so I went and, drove to the police station and was like, I'm here for the DNA sample. They, swabbed a swab in my mouth, and they're like, thank you, put it in a plastic bag. I don't, why would they do that?
They have your DNA.
Exactly. They want to make sure they have a database of everyone's DNA, so if a crime's committed...
And those were federal employees, so it's not shocking to me at all that they just like having people's DNA to look at and hold on to.
Well, they use it now for, they buy the DNA from these 23andMe sites now, too, to solve crimes.
It's not surprising.
And the thing is about it is that none of that stuff is as 100% as people think. People think they found the DNA at the site, so it must be true. Those things are always wrong, coming up incorrectly. When I blew in the little blood alcohol test thing and it said 0%, and they still said that I was drunk. It's just wrong. It's just those things are never 100%, and they'll still use that as evidence against you in a trial, and put people, people have gone to jail for life or even gotten the death penalty, and it was all because of this DNA science that is not very good science. So.
Well, yeah, and you have to trust that it was collected properly, it was stored properly, that the chain of...
that it wasn't planted.
What is it called? The chain of... exchange or whatever
chain
it's called.
Chain of custody.
Of custody was properly followed the whole way through.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's just they didn't know how to do that stuff until the 70s. So it's not something you can really trust, because scientists end up learning new things all the time. I just don't trust that.
I don't even think that they could do DNA in the 70s. It was the 90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know why I thought it was the 70s. Well, wasn't the 70s when DNA was... I don't know if this is going to be wrong, but I thought that was when it was found out about it all.
Oh, maybe that. But they weren't using it in court until much later.
Even more recent than that. We do have a caller on the line, so we'll come back to this article, but unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hello, I need some relationship advice. I'm morbidly obese, like Richie Rich, and I've got a micro wiener. Captain, how can I have sex with a cougar such as yourself, Bonnie?
A what such as myself? What? A young person hung up. Oh my
that
goodness.
That sounded like Colin.
She kind of did when he makes my voice. Yeah, I don't have any relationship advice. Sounds like you're pretty hopeless. I just don't even know what to say to that. Actually, I would like to point out that I do offer relationship advice because I have the best husband on the planet.
Wait, so your husband's in a cage. How can he be the best?
Well, he's the best. It's not his fault he's in a cage. So because I have the best husband on the planet, that qualifies me to give relationship advice.
All right.
So anybody that calls in asking for relationship advice, actually anybody here, we all have significant others.
We do.
And I'm sure you guys think that yours are the best, but it's actually mine.
Alana is the best.
Stu's also the best.
So actually, yeah. I think that qualifies all of us. So if anybody would
if
like
it's
to
not
call
easy,
in,
it's probably not right. That's
yeah.
all you need.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true. Like, I was telling someone today that I was like, well, the first time we ever went on a date was this date, but the first time we met was October 10th, 2020. So
I
that's
don't know
what
any of that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even know how long we've been married. I have to ask him.
We consider that our anniversary because we just were in love right when we met. Yeah. So, and it's just like, it was so obvious to both of us. It's
that's why
like,
I don't know. Because I never plan on being like, oh, we were married for 15 years or whatever. So I don't need to know.
You're it's just
forever.
Together.
From now. Yeah, from whenever it started to forever.
I'm just a dates person.
Like, I guess I am too. I like dates. I keep a journal and things like that. So
I need to get on that keeping a journal thing.
I don't know what day it is most of the time.
Yeah.
You just know you're supposed to be here a certain day, right?
That's right.
I never knew what day it was when I had Ian here. But now that I have to know what day it is, I kind of have to. Or else things will like suddenly sneak up on me.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what day it is. But yeah, when Ian lived here, he did all that thinking for me. I just wanted to point out that I do relationship advice. So that's what the joke was from whoever that was that
called.
It was Colin.
I'm pretty sure it was Colin.
Well, probably, it does sound like his Bonnie voice that he makes for me. So this New Jersey baby blood. This is from the Institute for Justice too, right? So
yeah.
They're suing New Jersey. They're a really great organization. They will usually for free. They'll take people's cases where they need to sue someone, and they'll represent them for free. So and,
that's great.
And it's almost always things that we would agree with here on the show, like suing cops because they did something wrong to a person, and normally, oh, you can't get the money. You can't get the money to hire a lawyer to do that yourself. So like the cop would never face any repercussions because like, of course their boss isn't going to do anything to them for,
They investigated themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll investigate themselves, find that they did nothing wrong. And then the cop will get off scot-free. But the Institute for Justice will often take up cases like that and sue people for them on their behalf. So that they're right now suing New Jersey, the state, for holding on to baby's blood for 23 years. I guess at some point it's not a baby blood anymore.
I mean, it was at one point. Yeah. So it says, parents have the right to informed consent if the state wants to keep their children's blood for decades and use it for purposes other than screening for diseases, said IJ senior attorney Rob Frommer. New Jersey's policy of storing baby blood and DNA and using that genetic information however it wants is a clear violation of the Fourth Amendment rights of all New Jersey parents and their newborns. The plaintiffs challenging this law are two Boonton parents, Erica and Jeremiah Jedniak, and Reverend Hannah Lavaglio. I don't know if I said their names wrong. A cranberry
Those
mother
look like
of two.
Hard, or sound like hard names.
Yeah. It's not right that the state can enter an incredibly intimate moment, the tender days of childbirth, and take something from our children, which is then held onto for 23 years, said Hannah. The lack of consent and transparency causes me to question the intent and makes me worried for my children's future selves. As a mother, I deserve the right to decide whether or not the government takes blood from my son and holds onto it for decades past its claimed use. So I don't like the as a mother statements.
Mm-hmm.
As a
human
guardian of another human being's life, you should not do anything that they can or cannot consent to, like that would be possibly detrimental to them.
Yeah, I even thought it was nice that the article specifically points out that it is breaching the rights of the parents and the newborn.
Yeah, the newborns. Like, you shouldn't pierce their ears. You shouldn't give up their DNA. You shouldn't give their fingerprints to the cops. None of that stuff.
I hadn't really thought about the ear piercing thing like that, honestly, because it's just like something people just do. I never really thought about it. I know that when I was in fourth grade, I begged my mom to pierce my ears. So I feel like you could totally consent at that point.
Yeah. I was 2 weeks old. My parents got my ears pierced.
Wow.
Cannot consent.
Because like if they do it ugly, like they make it uneven, like you might be like, wow, and this just stuck in my ears for life.
Or if you just don't want it.
Yeah.
You'll always have a scar there.
Mm-hmm.
I think my parents let my sisters get their ears pierced at 12.
Yeah. Also, circumcision. Don't do it.
Yeah,
just don't alter people's lives in any way if you are a steward for them.
I definitely would not do that. I would leave it up to my kids if I was going to have kids. But I also think that there are some calls that you have to make that, you know, people will grow up and disagree with, and I don't think they should be able to, like, sue their parents. But no. If the state's doing it to them, they should be able to sue the state.
Because nobody has to get their ears pierced or get circumcised or have their fingerprints or DNA given away, mm-hmm. like stuff like that. Serious medical things where it's like an emergency, you have to decide on something is different because mm-hmm. you're trying to prevent detriment to their life.
Mm-hmm.
But these are things that are not useful to the person in the future.
What do you think about this? I'm derailing the conversation a bit here, but I said to Nikki and Colin on, I think, last Wednesdays, I was like, I've been kind of toying with the idea. It's very emotionally charged, and I honestly assume you guys are going to immediately disagree with me, but I don't know. I think I make a pretty good point that children are the property of their parents until they're able to say otherwise.
I disagree that they're property.
Mm-hmm. I would because actually agree with Lori. I look at it more like a stewardship.
Yeah.
Like, these sovereign individuals are coming into your care.
But are they sovereign? How can they be sovereign at newborn age?
I still say they're sovereign individuals. They're just they're just put under your stewardship until they've learned what sovereignty means.
You're assuming that you're just kind of talking about them like, oh, well, one day they'll be sovereign, but in reality they're not when they're a newborn blob.
I don't think they're property, but I think you are their guardian.
Okay.
You need to guide them through life.
You need to guide them on how to interact with society.
Then why is it such a big deal when some other adult comes up and says, actually, I want to be their steward, give them to me. It only makes sense that they're your property. Because, like, if somebody else just claims, actually, Lori, like, I need to be the steward of this little girl, like, them's are fighting words, and I'm going to come up and take them because I just decided that, like, why is that wrong? I think it's because the children belong to you.
Well, I think the universe chose those children to belong to the person that they were given to.
But then, like, there are people that will be like, oh, well, that person, that parent is beating their kids. They should rightfully take the kid, you know? Mm. So, like, did the universe mess up in those cases? I don't know. It's very emotionally charged.
It's a hard topic. Like, I
disagreed, like, 2 weeks ago until I just, like, for some reason got on this thought train and was thinking about it. I just believe in property rights. And the other thing that really convinced me, when I think of myself at 5 years old, and this is the thing, if you guys had bad parents, you might think otherwise, but when I think of myself at even like 5 years old, I remember that clearly. I remember my fifth birthday. I remember what I was like. I remember mm-hmm. interactions with my siblings. Well, it doesn't bother me to think of myself as the property of my parents at that time.
See, the problem I have with property is you can do with your property whatever you want. You can destroy it.
That's a good
if
point.
You want to.
But, you know, destroying another human's life.
Yeah, is different.
It's different.
Mm. Well, so, that is a very good point.
Let me ask you this, Bonnie. Do you believe that coconut is your property?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I believe coconut's your property, too.
And I made that point when we had this conversation. I think it was last week.
It was 2 weeks ago, probably.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made that point last time. I was like, I definitely think coconut's my property, but I'm not saying that's the same thing as people's kids. It's
right,
different.
I don't view a human and an animal as the same.
I don't at all either. I don't think that.
I don't value their lives the same.
Yeah. I don't think they
because
have
I don't eat people.
Human rights, so. Yeah.
I don't eat people either.
I don't eat dogs either, but yeah. I think that you can clearly articulate the difference between humans and animals. And that's why I just like, I can't buy the whole, it's morally wrong to eat animals because they have rights. They don't have the same rights as humans.
I don't eat dogs either, but I am not like, I don't think that it would be morally objectable more so than eating a pig mm-hmm. for a person to raise a dog humanely to be eaten.
Yeah, I don't think it would be morally objectable.
I don't want to, but like,
I think it would make me think they were weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I wouldn't think they would taste good anyway.
I mean, in starvation situation, you're going to eat something.
Yeah.
But the actual like reason I think that it would make them weird is not just because of like the taste of the meat or because humans just don't do that. It's because you can detect a different level of consciousness between dogs and cows. I'm sorry.
Pigs are really smart.
they're smart, and I've heard that even cows are smart, but they're just not the same. Like, they're not going to be... Coconut literally loves me, thinks that he's a human. Like, he just... A cow's not going to do that, I don't think. But then again, I do realize that I wasn't raised around cows and pigs, and, like, maybe I just don't know about...
No, dogs are different, though. Mm-hmm. They're the only animal other than people that understand pointing. When you point at something, dogs are the only other animal that understand that.
Yeah. I didn't know they were the only ones, but I've always, I've learned so much about dogs since I got Coconut, because I didn't grow up with, like, dogs.
Monkeys might, too.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. So I know dogs do.
I will point to something, like, in the other side of the room, and Coconut looks that way, and it's always so, like, wow, you're so smart. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, but it's because they've been raised with humans for so long, and they've become... kind of
they've evolved
intertwined
to function
into,
with us a little
yeah
bit.
Intertwined into human behavior.
Yeah,
so if you point at something at a wolf, it's not going to look
right. Exactly. Or even like a cat, and that's what's so crazy to me is like
cats are not domesticated.
I'm watching Aria's cats for her while she's in jail, and I grew up with cats, but I also didn't have any for like 5 years as an adult, or I don't know how long I've been an adult, like 8 years or something. And it is always shocking to me. It's shocking to me to realize again how different cats and dogs are. Like, they don't seem to care about me at all. They just want something from me, and then they want to go off and do their own thing. Like, Coconut would go crazy if he was alone, like he does every time he's alone.
The difference with cats and dogs is dogs were domesticated by people, and cats kind of just saw that they could get food out of us.
I think that's so true. That's
and so they just kind of hang around and get food.
That's why my girlfriend has a few cats.
Oh, she does? You also said she's part cat.
Yeah, she's definitely part cat.
Not in the they, them, and those, and cats
right.
kind of way.
It's not her pronouns. It's just she's part cat. Her personality is part cat. It's
Riley
really
also said I'm part chihuahua
you
recently.
You're part chihuahua.
I think the listeners, if they know anything about chihuahuas, they'd probably agree. So is that all of the story from the Institute for Justice?
It just kind of goes on to talk about how it's an abuse of your rights to do, and every state does this. They take your blood, but most states destroy it.
Whoa, okay. You did say that every state takes the blood with the at least the heel prick, and they won't let you say no, but I didn't think about that. Like, does every other state destroy it?
Most states destroy it. It said earlier in the article that there was something in Texas happened with that. I know that in Utah, they destroyed it. It was
but
one of the things
that?
I was... Well, they say they destroy it.
Yeah.
I think they said 2 weeks. They they have it for 2 weeks while they do the screening, and then they destroy it.
Huh.
How do they destroy it? Like, burn it?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
Probably.
I don't even like that idea. Like, I really... there's this idea, and I can't think of it right now, but it's kind of like that the microcosm can affect the macrocosm. And, like, there were people that were testing things like, oh... using a picture of a bug, a specific type of bug, and a little drop of poison, you can, like, use your intention and, basically, there were people actually doing this, where they were going to farms, using their intention, a picture of a bug, and a drop of poison, and making that farm, that field, free of those bugs. And
interesting.
The thing is, like, we could get more into that, but I just don't like the idea of the government having a little microcosm of Bonnie, like, aka my DNA. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
U.S. USA News Update. A recent report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates a notable increase in 12-month price growth, rising from 3.2% in February to 3.5% in March. Additionally, AAA reports a rise of approximately 20 cents per gallon in the average price of gas. President Biden, in response to that report, says inflation has decreased during his presidency.
We have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're in a better situation than we were when we took office.
He said his Republican adversaries lack a strategy to address inflation. Israel has warned that any retaliation from Iran will provoke an Israeli counterattack. According to an Islamic Republic news agency, Tehran has vowed to respond to an Israeli airstrike on an Iranian embassy compound in Syria earlier this month. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
Oh, and Lori.
Sorry, usually Riley is sitting in the second chair, so you're probably used to...
Yeah, I'm used to it, and so different orders.
It's okay.
So it's Riley and Lori and me, Bonnie, on the show tonight. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And one thing that I've been wanting to bring up on this show for a while, because I thought it would definitely be a good Wednesday night topic, is this article from FEE, that's the Foundation for Economic Education, or FEE.org. I really like them. They're actually the first libertarian anything that I consumed.
I like FEE too. I like FAE. They're really great organization. They talk about economics in an understandable form.
Yeah.
So the average person reading or learning about economics can understand the content and understand why the libertarian position on economics is the most reasonable.
Especially like a lot of their older stuff that was just like talking about a lot of basics. In 2015, before I actually even became a libertarian, I didn't find it myself, but my friend, so I knew that like a $15 minimum wage was bad because I was like, obviously everything's going to get more expensive because they'll just have to pay the employees more. Like you're, we're not going to have a dollar menu anymore. I understood those like simple things that even like most right wingers understood. Cause I was like kind of a right winger. Cause like I just grew up with my parents being right wingers. And, but my sister was all like, oh, Bernie Sanders, $15 minimum wage, blah, blah, blah on Facebook. And I was telling her that was dumb. And my friend who was a libertarian was like talking to her about exactly why it was dumb. And I was like, wow, you know so much about this topic. Like, how do you know this about economics? Like, you didn't go to school for that. And he showed me Fee. So I was like, you know, kind of like interested in that. And then once the cops arrested me for no reason, I really like just never stopped constantly consuming liberty media. Like, my parents were like, oh my gosh, that's all you ever do is listen to Tom Woods and Contra Krugman. Like, are you okay? Literally, like, do you have no friends? You're just listening to Tom Woods. But it's, I mean, I feel like lots of people who just find out about these ideas, it's like intoxicating. Like, you can't stop reading about it and thinking about it. And like, you're like, wow, the world could be so much better. That's kind of what it's like about. It's like the world could be so much better. It's not just about changing the world to behave the way you want. It's like your life could be ideal and everyone's could.
Yeah, it could benefit everyone.
Right. Like the only people whose lives wouldn't benefit from more freedom is people who want to control your life.
Mm-hmm.
And they should just get over that because that would ultimately help their lives too. But most people are just too afraid of the unknown. Like they are just driven by fear. They're too afraid to face any change. And I think that is why this article makes a lot of sense. This article is titled "Self-Improvement is Inherently Pro-Liberty." And I think people who are afraid of change don't even want to improve themselves. They just think, I'm depressed. I am depressed. Depression is me. I will never change. I need a pill. Or that's just an example. Like it could be anything else. Like, oh, I am whatever, but it will never change because I don't believe it can because I'm afraid to think of unknowns. And that's why they don't change themselves or improve themselves. And that's also why they believe in coercion.
Well, and it's hard. It's hard to improve yourself. It takes
effort.
Effort, and it's you unlearn everything that you learned in, you know, your whole life in a church or a school or by your parents. And people don't want to do it.
People want the certainty of religion. That's a great
Well, religion
point.
Provides a lot of people certainty because they have a holy book you can refer to. And in Mormonism's case, you have these people calling themselves prophets who supposedly talk to God.
Whoa, there are people that right now call themselves prophets in Mormonism?
Prophets, seers, revelators.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, every conference, April and October, they're sustained and supported as such.
Hmm.
And these people supposedly have this connection, this divine connection, greater than anyone else to God.
That's terrible. I think everybody, I believe in like a spiritual side of the universe.
Yes,
and
I agree.
Everyone has the same access to it.
I agree with that.
That's terrible to tell people otherwise.
People are also scared to admit that they've been lied to their whole life.
That's so
like,
true.
I grew up my whole life. Everyone lied to me, and now I don't know. You know, how am I supposed to trust anyone that I thought loved me when they lied to me my whole life about all of these things?
To me, one thing that was terrifying too was just, what if I am wrong to question Christianity and then I go to hell? And that is just like absolutely like abuse.
That's what made me stop. So I was raised Catholic and I was told that I wasn't supposed to question it. And I was like, well, then it's not for me. I'm out of here. I was like 9.
I always really respect people who did that at such a young age. I didn't. But the thing was, I was just like, oh, great. Thank you. Thanks for giving me all these answers. Mm-mm. Like, you know, I was just like, oh, awesome. Like, and then I would ask my mom things, but my mom was like, she's the type of person to like, she would have a question and she would find the apologetic or whatever they call it answer. So I would have a question. My mom would give me her answer, you know, like, why did Jesus say this? If this, and then she would give me the answer, and I was like, okay, great, thanks. Like, instead of being like I wasn't questioning at any point, like, if it was all true, because I just believed it was. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, so for me, I actually delved into apologetics myself when I came to Mormonism. I had some experiences in my life where I felt like I needed to do that, where I needed to really learn about my faith tradition and how to defend it better.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take me until my 30s to decide, you know, this is not the spiritual path that is most beneficial. I don't think the church claims are true, because you'd have to engage in a lot of fallacious reasoning, like special pleading, to suggest that your church is the one true church and the one true path. I mean, Islam makes the same claim. Christianity makes the same claim. There are branches of Christianity that make similar claims. And so how can your church be the one true church? And if I have to take your claims on pure faith alone, then really you have nothing to support your statement.
I think what saved me and got me into that early was I was a big nerd who liked to go sit in the library in my free time and read. And so I just read everything that I could get my hands
on. At 9?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's
and
really
like,
cool.
Like reference books. Like I'd read reference books for fun. We had like all these encyclopedias and stuff, and I'd read them and just absorb all the information and like all these religions and all these different political views and stuff like that. And so I was always just, if I can't question it myself and find the answers myself, then it's not for me. If you're going to tell me that I can't question this thing, then I don't want to be any part of it.
That's a great policy.
If you can't tell me I can't question the prophet,
I don't want any part
of your religion.
I don't want any part of it.
If you can tell me that I cannot question God himself, then I don't want to be part of your religion.
My dad was really sad at one point, and he told me, wouldn't you rather believe and be wrong than not believe and be wrong? And I was like, that's not really how believing something works. You can't just make yourself believe something. Maybe some people can, but I cannot make myself believe something.
I think about that a lot. I wonder how many people really don't believe it, but they are trying to force it.
Yeah, because, though?
Once I grew up and I could like think of things in a different way, I thought about other people in my life who didn't act like Christians, but they were part of the church and they were, called themselves Christians. And I'm like, do they just not really believe it? Like, what's going on in their brains? It's really
they must
weird.
Because they have like
cognitive dissonance.
Maybe? Yeah, well, and they pick which things to believe and which things not to believe in this thing that you're believing. How do you believe a thing but only parts of it?
Right. And like Jesus, they believe will put you in hell for not believing like any of it, but yet, like they, you know,
other Christians will condemn other Christians to hell. I know Christian groups have condemned Mormons to hell and Catholics
to
hell.
Well, yeah, definitely. Just most Mormons don't realize that all other Christians think you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
And that's the thing, too. Growing up Catholic, it was like, oh, well, you can do anything and just apologize for it and go to heaven.
Yeah.
But my mom
would
say that.
But if you don't believe or you question it, you're going to hell. Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It doesn't make any sense.
If I'm a good person and I can't go to heaven because I'm a good person because I didn't
apologize,
eat the bread or do whatever you told me to do, then I don't want to go there anyway. It sounds like it's full of terrible people.
Yeah. I would suggest that if there's a perfect, all-knowing, all-loving God and he created us to question, then I would hope that that God would want question and inquiry and us to figure out what our spiritual paths are and figure out what resonates with us.
I just think just like the regular human love that I've experienced in my life is so much nicer than the love described by most Christians about their own God.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like so much more loving than like anything you've ever experienced. And yet that's what comes out of it. Like a person that would send anyone to hell. My husband would never put anyone in hell.
Yeah. And besides, heaven sounds kind of boring. We're just sitting around praising Jesus all the time.
Yeah, and of course there's the apologies that are like, well, it wouldn't be boring to you then because it would be blissful. And also, like, I don't know.
How do we understand bliss if we can't understand the opposite of it?
I don't know how anyone claims to know that they're right anyway.
Yeah.
I don't
You've never
either.
Been there. You've never met that guy or
girl
or entity.
Well, that's why there's a huge, huge market for stories of people who went to heaven. And when I was a kid,
near-death experience books.
Well, you know, that's different. Well, like, I think near-death experiences
are
totally
none of these people
different.
Ever go to hell?
No, they do.
Oh.
And I hate those books, too. And I really think most of it's fake. Like, there's one called 23 Minutes in Hell, I think it's called. 23 Minutes in Hell. I might be saying that because that number came up earlier in the show. So I don't remember how many minutes. But, like, I think it's 23 Minutes in Hell. And, like, it's a book that people, like my mom and other people, will give to people to be like, listen, you really need to read this. And it says, like, basically like, if you, like, I got taken to hell just so God could bring me back so I could tell you guys what it's like, and it's constantly your face is melting off and blah, blah, blah.
Sounds incorrect.
It does. And it's also just like, anyone can say that. I'm sorry. Like, with
anyone can say that without evidence.
With the near-death experiences, there are tons of studies where people who have no connection with each other in very good, you know, like clinical environments where there was like no like passing information between this other person on the other side of the planet that had the same experience. Like, if you really look into that, there is a lot of actual like evidence that these people aren't lying, and there just isn't that for people who say that they went to heaven.
I mean, when you die, your brain is just firing off neurons.
But that's part of, that's been studied.
All crazy. So who knows? You're probably hallucinating.
That's been studied. Like, I think that everybody who thinks they have a theory about it should really look into it, because there are controls for things like that. Like, they can try to inhibit, they can try to induce the same things like that to people, and like, you don't get an experience of all-knowing, loving being hugging you. I mean, it's not necessarily just hugging you, but I'm just trying to like simplify it for people. The other thing is, like, I've experienced something pretty close to a near-death experience, so like, nobody's gonna tell me that I didn't experience that.
Okay.
And it's just like, if you experience something yourself, like, it's a lot different than like your parents telling you you'll go to hell. And just like, even my experience alone tells me that I just don't believe that people go to hell and get their face burned off. Like, according to tons of people, this woman that I know that died should be in hell, and I just don't believe she is, because like, I was in a coma and I saw her smiling and walking in a field, and she was just like psychically telling me, like, not without her mouth moving, like, everything's good, I am doing amazing, and I have to go that way, and you can't come with me.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I just, like, it was, like, no words were exchanged. I was just like, oh, I can't walk any further with you. I was, like, holding her hand. And she was able to keep going. And she wasn't just, like, she was, like, not just, like, normal. She was, like, extremely beaming happy, like, super happy. And she was going to keep going that way towards, like, this light. And I don't know. I just don't see why my brain would make that up. I barely knew this woman, actually. I was, like, knew her for, like, a week, and then got in a car accident with her and she died. So, like, it's like, why would my brain do that? Like,
I don't not believe. Mm-hmm. I also don't believe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, because right. I've never been there and I've never done it. I think we're all just energy, and we're all just a big collective energy. And when you die, your energy goes back into the collective and then and then gets put somewhere else.
Right. I agree with that too. And I think that that would be a fantastic feeling, because in general, everything that's real is usually great, and everything that is bad is usually fake. So if you get put back into the energy of everything that is, I can't see that being anything but awesome.
Yeah.
Like, fear is just fake. It's just...
Imagine how good that would feel, like, all the energy being whole.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome.
And, you know, just, like, that's kind of, like, the definition of happiness is, like, everything being in its place and being, like, belonging. That's like the foundation of happiness.
Yeah. You have to think too, like, how much other people affect you. Like, just their energy being around somebody can affect you energetically. Being around someone who's angry makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
Being around someone who's sad makes you feel bad. Like, negative energy from someone else makes you feel negative.
And that is just one reason, a huge reason that I hate, like, I don't hate, but I don't like people who are like scientism, because it's just like, you know, you have that experience in your life that you can feel people's energy. Like, everybody, most people know that. Like, just the other day, Riley and I watched the eclipse, and he was like, there's definitely an energy about it. There just was. Like,
there is. It's hard to explain.
It is.
But there definitely is an energy shift as the eclipse goes across the United States.
I have told people this before, and I definitely think it's true, that I know what a Sunday feels like. If I was, like, in a coma and woke up and no one told me what day it was, I feel like I would know if it was a Sunday. And only a Sunday. And somebody said to me, something that was pretty, honestly, pretty smart, and it might be the case. They were like, you're just feeling the, like, relaxed energy of all the people around you and, like, the houses around you. I was like, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
honestly,
the energy
that would be
around you.
Just as cool as it being that I feel Sundays.
Well, so, like, we went to Sedona in Arizona, and, like, that place itself has, like, a mellow energy. Like, you just feel...
That sounds
like the
lovely.
Earth is healing you
yeah.
when you're there.
I want to go there so bad. I've only been to like the crappiest parts of Arizona. Then again, I like Prescott or Prescott, however you say that. Mm. But like, there are parts of Arizona that I didn't know America was that third world.
Yeah, right.
Like mattresses outside in a yard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so scary. And like, no doors on houses and stuff like that. I don't know why I brought that part up. I was just gonna say, because it's like, it has nothing to do with the government state lines. I think that the energies of places have a lot more to do with, like, I don't know, the people there and like the experiences they've had there, probably. Like, I definitely think my house has a really good energy.
It does.
Aw, thank you.
That's a very nice energy.
I never feel scared in my house. Like, to fall asleep in a room alone doesn't scare me. And I've always been, like, the type of person that needs to, like, be like, okay, don't think of anything scary, like, right before bed until I lived in this house.
Huh.
And even when Ian went to jail the first time, I thought that I'd be, like, creeped out. And I was only creeped out of people. I was, like, always checking my closet before I went to bed because somebody could have came in here and went and hid in my closet until I fell asleep. Not because of, like, the energy.
I do it, too. Punch the shower curtain.
Really?
Anyway, in there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The house isn't creepy, but like, people.
People, exactly. Yeah. People could be in there. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, if I wanted to ask if your house was also, it had energy that you thought was a good energy.
I think it's kind of neutral.
Hmm.
It's not like, I don't feel warm and at peace like you do some places, but I also don't feel weirded out or scared or anything. I have lived in houses where I'm like, this place is creeping me out. I don't want to be here alone. Like, I can go to sleep fine there by myself when if Sue's not there. It's just neutral, which is fine.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of any like scary place. Have you seen anything unexplainable, or is it just a feeling?
When I was a little kid, my aunt and uncle lived in this house. And there was, in the basement, there was like a door, but it was all blocked off with dirt. And it really creeped me out.
That's creepy.
Yeah, being down there.
Why is it blocked off with dirt?
I don't know.
Okay.
There was like another room down there, but the door to that room was like, the whole room was filled in with dirt.
Whoa, okay,
and so
wow.
It always really weirded me out. And one time we were there, and I was upstairs in bed, and I had like this big giant bed. My aunt was laying in the bed next to me. We were watching something, and my sister was asleep in the other bed in the same room. It was like our bedroom, shared bedroom at my aunt's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard my uncle call my name. I think I told you about this.
I think I'm remembering it now, but you should finish. I don't think Riley's heard it.
So I went downstairs. I was like, Uncle Tom's home. And I ran downstairs. She's like, he's not, because he used to travel around the country for business. And I went down there, and there was nobody there.
Hmm.
And that house was just creepy in general. And like, a little while later, like a couple years later, we found out the people across the street found like bones in their basement, like bodies.
Hmm.
Wow. Ah. That's really scary.
Did you ever find out anything about the dirt room?
No, I never found out.
That's really creepy.
I sometimes like look up the house online to see if there's anything, but I've never found anything.
So you heard a voice say, Lori.
Yeah, it was like a man's voice, like a really deep man's voice. It was creepy.
That's terrifying.
That is a little terrifying.
Yeah.
But, you know, ghosts and energies do hang around places sometimes.
I don't know. That house was scary.
That
it did
so...
not feel... It didn't feel like a nice place to be. There was like upstairs, there was a little playroom we had to keep our toys in, and I refused to go in there. I'd go in and get my toys. I'd run in and get my stuff and come back out. It wasn't even a basement. It was upstairs in the second floor, and my bedroom was right next to it. And no other room really creeped me out like that room. It was awful.
I remember when I was a kid being afraid of being alone more because of like the fact of being alone than like the specific house I was in. And I just remember this one feeling where anytime I was like in a room alone, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that I had a big family and I was like never alone. So when I was, it was weird. So like, if I was in a room alone, I'd be like, okay, I'll go in there alone because I really want to get like my toy or whatever it was. But I'd be quick about it because, like, if I was sitting there alone for too long, I would start to feel this feeling like my back was, like, burning and cold at the same time. It's so weird. Like, I would just, like, be like, I feel something behind me. It's, like, burning and cold. We have a caller, though. Gigi in South Carolina. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Mrs. Freeman. Always good wonderful evening. To hear your beautiful, sweet voice.
Oh, thank you. It's great
My
to hear from you.
I received three fantastic letters from Ian.
Oh, that's good news.
It is wonderful. God bless him. He keeps his spirits up. He does yoga. He reads the Wall Street Journal, and he's getting fruit and cauliflower and lettuce and tomato.
Yay!
And on every meal tray, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, he's getting skim milk.
Wow.
That was new. Oh, that's new?
This is good,
excellent.
And this is healthy. Do I sound like a Jewish mother?
You do. Well, unfortunately, he's been moved to a different jail, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, I needed to let you know that, Gigi. So, just so you know, right now, all letters to Ian should cease for now because he got moved to another county jail in New Hampshire for now until he gets the bus to come take him to
a federal facility. Yeah, my husband and I were wondering about that.
It just happened yesterday out of the blue.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad you told me because
I'm glad you called.
I was going to have Jeffrey mail some letters to him, but I will hold off until he gives us his new address. But I want to tell you something.
Okay.
I wrote something to Ian, something personal, and your husband wrote back that he 100%, pardon me for coughing in your ears,
you're okay.
Agreed. I never realized that Ian is very, very interested in international relations and geography and the world. And let me tell you, it's like having a soulmate on Pen Pal because I'm so passionate about that subject academically and personally, and your husband expressed exactly the same thing. And when I read his letters and my husband reads his letters and he writes about pick the country, pick the continent, pick the politician, it's so wonderful to share that in common with someone. And he wrote us about his attorneys and the Liberty Project and the issues all compiled together for one appeal.
That is the
also equally passionate for me and my husband because
Gigi,
Jeffrey
that's the bumper music.
If a lot of appeals in South Carolina.
If you want to continue, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there, but that's the bumper music. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.